The headlines: Brazil refuses to join U.S.-sponsored discussions on new Iran sanctions. Washington vows to continue with offshore drilling despite the oil spill disaster. And the euro weakens further amid growing concerns over the EU debt crisis.
Hello everyone, it's 2:30 a.m. here in Tehran and you're watching the news here on Press TV.
Thank you for joining us. Brazil has refused to take part in discussions on a draft Security Council sanctions resolution against Iran. The Brazilian envoy to the Security Council says her country is not engaging in the talks in light of a new nuclear fuel swap deal with Tehran. Brazil and Turkey helped broker that deal. Both Brazil and Turkey are non-permanent members of the Security Council. This is while the U.S. and its Western allies say they have agreed on the draft resolution of sanctions against Iran.
Consideration that it deserves.
Today, I am pleased to announce to this committee we have reached agreement on a strong draft with the cooperation of both Russia and China.
Clinton's remarks come a few days after she said she was skeptical about the successive talks between Iran, Brazil and Turkey over a nuclear fuel swap.
But I believe that we will not get any serious response out of the Iranians until after the Security Council acts.
Contrary to Clinton's expectations, talks in Tehran did work out, and Iran said it is ready to send its low-enriched uranium to Turkey in exchange for nuclear fuel for its research reactor, which provides medicine for hundreds of thousands of patients. The declaration drew different reactions. Israel, which is said to possess hundreds of nuclear warheads, was quick to accuse Iran of manipulating Turkey and Brazil to prevent fresh UN sanctions. Some European states described the agreement as a positive move. The UN chief Ban Ki-moon called the nuclear swap declaration a positive step. The Turkish Prime Minister has called on the international community to support the move. He says diplomacy, not the U.S.-sought sanctions, is the solution to the West's standoff with Iran over its nuclear program.
Turkey believes in supremacy of law. In order to find fair and just solutions, we should stop talking about the sanctions.
Erdogan has also criticized those states that try to cast doubts on the agreement.
Fortunately, the mistrusting stakeholders, which are obvious from their statements that have been posted ever since yesterday, are still talking about prospective sanctions to be imposed on Iran.
Meanwhile, a senior aide to the Brazilian president said Turkey and Brazil want to join the P5+1 group to discuss Iran's nuclear program. Now the question is, will the U.S. threats of tougher sanctions be an appropriate response to Iran's goodwill gesture and diplomatic efforts by Tehran, Ankara and Brasilia to resolve the row over the nuclear fuel swap?
From New York, let's bring in our oral correspondent Afaf Khanja to tell us a little bit more about the latest regarding the Iran nuclear issue and the draft resolution in New York. Afaf, it's over to you now.
Hello. So as you saw, a lot of the key members of the P3+3 spoke, and basically they are pretty much in alignment. What the U.S. ambassador has said basically is that these sanctions are calling for just a stronger response to bring them to the negotiating table. That they in fact are saying that this tabling of this draft resolution is to welcome Iran to talk, to negotiate, and they are anticipating this letter that Iran is sending to the IAEA. Members have also said that they're very optimistic welcome the fuel exchange and to that agreement with Turkey and Brazil.
Many thanks to Afaf Khanja in New York. Now let's get some expert view on that. I'm going to bring in Hamid Reza Imadi. He's a political commentator. Luckily, he has joined us at the studios. Hamid Reza Imadi, the U.S. has tabled a draft resolution to impose new sanctions against Iran, as you know. Why would it do so, despite Iran's announcement that it's ready to swap fuel in Turkey?
Well, that's the big question. What the United States did today to table this draft resolution, sanctions resolutions against Iran's nuclear program, was disappointing and discouraging, given the fact that it comes only 36 hours after Iran announced, together with Turkey and Brazil, that it is ready to swap its low-enriched uranium in Turkey. And Iran expressed its readiness to cooperate, to get this deal done. But the United States responded by this draft resolution. I think the U.S. is trying to steal the show from Brazil and Turkey, which tried to broker this deal. What the United States is doing at the moment is pushing forward with sanctions, which will definitely target the Iranian people at the end of the day, and the Iranian people are going to pay the price for this new set of sanctions. At the same time, we need to remember that Iran has suffered from sanctions over the past 30 years, and despite sanctions, Iran has managed to move forward with its technological advancements. Iran has attained progress in various scientific fields. Not only the nuclear sector, Iran has managed to develop its industries despite the sanctions. So sanctions are not something new for Iran, and Iran is capable of handling its industries, its situation, its economic situation despite sanctions, even if the U.S. manages to impose a new round of sanctions against Iran.
Okay, Hamid Reza Imadi, of course you're talking about Iran's achievements during the past three decades, and despite sanctions imposed on it. How would Iran respond if the draft is adopted this time around?
Well, Iran has showed its willingness to cooperate. Iran has taken a very big step by signing this declaration with Brazil and Turkey. Iran has given its message to the international community that it is ready to do what it is supposed to. And now the ball is in the court of the United States and its allies. So they are the ones that have to respond to this offer of cooperation from the Iranian side. And at the end of the day, it's the U.S. that and its allies that that have to figure out what to do with this offer of cooperation from the Iranian side.
Many thanks to Hamid Reza Imadi, political commentator, joining us at the Press TV studios. Thank you. France has released Iranian citizen Ali Vakili Rad from prison after 19 years.
Indeed. Well, Vakili Rad harshly criticized the prison situation in France, saying the West does not practice what it preaches. Deputy Minister for Iranian Affairs Hassan Ghashghavi and Member of Parliament Kazem Jalali welcomed Vakili Rad at the airport. The Iranian national was jailed for allegedly murdering last Prime Minister of Shah's regime, Shapur Bakhtiar, in 1991. Meanwhile, Ghashghavi has denied reports that there are links between the release of French citizen Clotilde Rees and Vakili Rad.
As a foreigner, I couldn't even imagine the situation could be bad to this extent. If time allows, I will tell more details in the future. I can swear to God that, unfortunately, there is a world of difference between what they say and what they do.
Some have related the release of Mr. Vakili Rad with the freedom of Ms. Clotilde Rees, but as I said before, Mr. Vakili Rad's parole decree was issued last February, so there is no relation between the two releases, because Mrs. Rees was freed after Mr. Vakili Rad.
Which Well, the World Health Organization has passed a resolution demanding Israel put an immediate end to a blockade on the occupied Palestinian territories.
The resolution says the blockade is causing a shortage of medicine, particularly in the Gaza Strip. It also asks Israel to facilitate the access of Palestinian patients to health institutions in the occupied East Jerusalem, Al-Quds, and abroad. An annual meeting of the WHO in Geneva passed a resolution with 63 member states voting in favor. 8 states voted against and 51 abstained. The United States opposed the resolution, saying that it stirred up tensions. The Israeli blockade of Gaza began in 2006. It has drawn criticism from many human rights organizations as it has left the Gazans without basic facilities.
Well, Lebanese Prime Minister Saad Hariri has visited Syrian capital Damascus to hold talks with President Bashar Assad. The two sides have discussed bilateral relations and the latest developments in the region.
Lebanese Prime Minister Saad al-Hariri arrived in Damascus on Tuesday. He met with Syrian President Bashar al-Assad and discussed with him bilateral relations and regional issues, especially the Israeli threats against Syria and Lebanon. They also discussed the situation in the occupied Palestinian territories and al-Hariri's expected visit to Washington next week.
The visit of Mr. Hariri to Syria was expected a long time ago, but now it seems that the situation has matured enough to have the visit implemented in circumstances that assure its total success.
Syria puts the visit in the framework of consultation and cooperation between the two countries. The two sides agreed on the importance of facing common challenges and serving the interests of the two peoples, in addition to pushing forward bilateral relations.
The Syrian-Lebanese relations are continuing to recover, and hopefully soon they will be back to normal. This will serve both countries' interests.
Al-Hariri visited Damascus last year. The visit paved the way for a better relationship with Syria after the freeze it witnessed following the assassination of former Lebanese Prime Minister Rafiq al-Hariri. This second visit of al-Hariri to Damascus is completely different from its previous one. Syria and Lebanon are now coordinating on sensitive issues such as the Israeli threats against them. Hamad Ali, Press TV, Damascus.
The UN says in 2009, Pakistan has had the highest number of internally displaced people in the world. A study by the humanitarian organization, showed that over 3 million Pakistanis are homeless, and it's mainly due to Islamabad's large-scale military operations and a mounting insurgency in that country. Meanwhile, the UN has warned that aid programs for the displaced people would have to be cut back due to poor international response to an appeal earlier this year. The world body appealed for more than $500 million, but up until now, it has only raised just a quarter of that amount.
Well, the U.S. says offshore drilling is vital to meet the country's energy needs. Interior Secretary Ken Salazar says about 30% of the U.S. oil production comes from the Gulf of Mexico. Salazar was speaking during the Capitol Hill hearings 4 weeks after a drilling rig exploded in the Gulf of Mexico. This while the U.S. lawmakers pushed forward with efforts to make big oil companies fully liable for spills. Many fear the huge spill is spreading through ocean currents and could take it into the Florida Keys and possibly up to the East Coast. Meanwhile, BP has released new video of the undersea oil leak. This after the energy giant criticized for not being forthcoming with providing video footage of the damage.
The euro has fallen against dollar to a new 4-year low as the European debt crisis is continuing to worry the markets. The euro extended losses against the U.S. dollar to the sensitive level of $1.22. This is the lowest level the euro has ever been traded since April 2006. It also lost just over 2% against the Japanese yen. This after the German government said it would take some measures in buying assets. The euro dived even as Eurozone finance ministers vowed to fix the region's financial problems.
And you're watching the news here on Press TV. Quick check of the headlines this hour. Brazil refuses to join U.S.-sponsored discussions on new Iran sanctions. Washington vows to continue with offshore drilling despite the oil spill disaster. And the euro weakens further amid growing concerns over the EU debt crisis.